We must always change, renew, rejuvenate ourselves. Otherwise, we harden. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. I'm Samantha Lee Wright. You're listening to the Essential Oil Revolution, where each week we deep dive into the topic of health, wellness, and of course, essential oils. Today on the show, however, and actually for the next few episodes, we're going to take a not complete departure, but a little departure from the narrow topic of essential oils to explore the topic of cancer. Cancer is predicted to affect 1 in 2 Americans in the next 25 years or more, and that statistic is getting more startling by the day. And while due to pesky FDA regulations, we aren't really allowed to talk strictly about essential oils and cancer, we are allowed to talk about lifestyle changes that you can make, ways to avoid some of the risk out there that increase your risk of cancer, and how to embrace an overall healthy lifestyle. So for today's episode, we are talking with Dr. Kevin Connors, who runs an alternative cancer treatment center in St. Paul. We'll be talking about essential oils some, but mostly we'll be talking about some of the treatments that he gives to his cancer patients, as well as some topics about how essential oils complement someone going through a cancer treatment. Before we dive into the interview, allow me to share my favorite oil for this week. And on the theme of today's episode and the next few episodes, I want to talk about frankincense essential oil. Not only is frankincense my favorite essential oil just based on the smell of it, every time I smell in frankincense, it just immediately makes me feel more calm, more grounded, and more centered. But I want to encourage you to do a little research on frankincense essential oil, specifically sacred frankincense essential oil, and its ability to promote healthy cells within your body. Now let's also pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's DIY dugout recipe comes from Teresa Pierce, and it's for a sunburn cooling spray. To make the sunburn cooling spray in a glass spray bottle, add the following ingredients: 2 ounces of distilled water, 2 ounces organic witch hazel, 10 drops lavender essential oil, 3 drops patchouli, and 1 drop tea tree oil. Spray on your skin after exposure to sun. Swirl to blend before each use. Thank you so much for your recipe, Teresa. Send us your recipes by emailing us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life. And it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Well, I'm here with Dr. Kevin Connors, who is the staff physician and clinic director at Connors Clinic, an alternative cancer treatment center in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's been studying alternative cancer care for over 18 years. He's written numerous books, including Stop Fighting Cancer and Start Treating the Cause, that is available as a free download at connorsclinic.com/books. Dr. Connors, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you here.
Hello, Sam. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, I can't wait to dive into this topic with you. You've learned just so much around the topic of alternative and holistic healing and cancer and other illnesses. So I understand that you operate the Alternative Cancer Treatment Clinic in St. Paul. What are the most common therapies or treatments that you offer?
Well, most people seek us out because of our work with Rife frequency technology, RIFE.
Okay.
So that's a...
You'll have to explain that.
So that is an instrument that was developed back in the 1930s and 40s by a man named Royal Raymond Rife, who now bears his name, using light frequencies to help kill pathogens. And he did a lot of his work on helping kill cancer cells.
Is that a similar kind of technology to, like, I'm vaguely familiar with certain water treatments or water filtration treatments using a certain light? Is that the same thing or completely different?
That's completely different. So like
okay.
A water treatment would be like using ozone or something like that, or in ultraviolet light to help kill pathogens in the water. Rife frequency is a light frequency. It's a Tesla tube. And it is, you can program it with the different machines that are out there based upon whatever frequency you want to run on the machine. So from a basically simplest terms, from a quantum physics perspective, everything that exists is energy that's vibrating at a specific frequency. So cells are vibrating at a specific frequency. Cancer cells are vibrating at a specific frequency. If you could hit that cancer cell at its own frequency, multiple positive events could happen. So Rife believed if you hit the cancer cell at its own frequency, you cause cell lysis, which is cell death. Lysis is what's called a pathological death of a cell. That's what happens typically with chemotherapy, is cell lysis. I don't necessarily believe that cell lysis actually occurs with Rife, or we would get ill effects like detox reactions and such that you get with chemotherapy. But I do believe that it stimulates apoptosis. I do believe it stimulates an immune system reaction. Anything you hit with its own frequency is going to cause that thing to vibrate. And that's going to help the immune system, your T cells, your macrophages, to recognize that as an enemy. Because that's one of the problems with cancer, is it is your own cells. It's not an enemy like a bacteria. It's your own cell that's in a rapid replication phase. And your immune system is created to not attack self tissue. That would be called an autoimmune disease. So your immune system is created to leave cancer cells alone, your own tissue cells alone. So if you can stimulate an immune response to the cancer, you can help your body kill the cancer. And that's really how I believe Rife works. There's about 25 different theories. If you read some in-depth quantum physics, energy medicine books, there's numerous out there on the market. You get into detail theories on how it actually works. But I think in a simplest form, you're stimulating an immune response to help your body attack the cancer. And that requires an immune response. So you have to have a healthy immune response. And that's where using other things to stimulate a healthy immune response, like nutraceuticals and essential oils and stuff, is essential to go along with the Rife in order for it to work at its best.
And what does that look like? I mean, especially on the essential oil side, to complement this sort of journey and these other treatments people are undergoing, what kind of things have you used or recommended?
Well, there's numerous essential oils from good, healthy, peer-reviewed studies that shows that it can be beneficial for people with cancer. From a practical standpoint, we see the use, and we do testing for each individual, so we don't just have a set protocol here, everybody who has this type of cancer use this. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. But from a practical standpoint, the standbys for cancer are going to be the frankincense, the myrrh, the lemongrass, the copaiba, the thyme, the German chamomile, oregano. Those are the typical ones. We're finding some of the aldehyde oils like cinnamon to be also effective, I think through a completely different mechanism. And, you know, synergistically using different oils and synergistically linking oils with different nutraceuticals have extreme beneficial effect on the body. And of course, everybody's different.
And can you define nutraceutical as well for people unfamiliar with that term?
So a nutraceutical would be the use of a vitamin or an herb from a medicinal purpose. So instead of a pharmaceutical, you're using a more of a natural pharmaceutical like a curcumin or a echinacea or a golden seal or a vitamin C. Those are all would be considered a nutraceutical approach.
Yeah. Well, and I love that synergistic approach. I mean, that's really what makes essential oils, I think, so powerful and so amazing to incorporate into any sort of health journey someone's going on, is that synergistic property, adding an essential oil to, you know, the vitamins or the therapies or whatever you're doing can really amplify those effects in such amazing ways. Now, you mentioned that you would sort of test the individual for certain essential oils that could complement their therapies. What kind of testing do you do for that?
Well, we do kinesiology testing in our office. So, but as a patient who's trying to do things on their own, they can certainly test by see their body's response to things. I caution people about just sticking to one protocol that they might have read on the internet or something, to be careful of that, because everybody's different, you know, and especially when we see when people get a diagnosis of cancer, all their friends, very well-meaning, trying to be helpful, will, you know, send them some product or some supplement or give them information on something that their friends, aunts, brothers, wife,
right,
you know,
right,
this helped their cancer.
It can be so overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
If the person actually took all those things, it can be overwhelming to that individual's liver.
Right.
So you do have to be careful not to take too many things. Remember, anything that you absorb, your body has to detoxify. And too much of a good thing can also be a bad thing. So you don't want to overwhelm somebody's liver, especially if they have cancer, when we're trying to kill cancer cells and your body's going to have to get rid of the dead tissue and such from that too. So,
right. Do you know much about the effects of lemon essential oil with supporting the liver during that detoxification process?
Yeah, that can be a support. So when we look at detox pathways from our perspective, that's where we do genetic testing, because there's specific genes that really are the drivers of all your cytochrome P450 pathways, your POND pathways, your NAT pathways. And if a person has defects on those pathways, they're going to have a much more difficult time detoxifying what detoxifies through that pathway. And then there's specific, so you asked about testing. We use genetic testing a lot for recommendation of nutrition and essential oil as well, because defects on specific pathways, then you want to try to support those pathways. You can't change that genetic, you know, structure that you're born with, those defects, but you can, now I know that I have this defect, I want to support that pathway. And so we try to get real specific with the detox pathways and not use like box detox type protocols. But there are some general things. The lemonine products, essential oils are good for liver detox pathways. Typically the cytochrome P450 pathways, if I recall.
And speaking of genetics, I love that you're doing genetic testing on people to really help match them with nutrition counseling, essential oils, supplements, all these things. We recently interviewed an epigenetic specialist here about that very topic. So I love that you're integrating that. And it kind of sparked this question in me. I think that when we look at cancer specifically and genetics, a lot of the assumption out there is that the cause of cancer is your genes. Like it's just genetic. It's there. But from the research that I've seen on this topic, really only about 5 to 10% of cancers are linked to gene defects. Is that the same studies that you've seen? And I know you've done a lot of work on the causes of cancer. So I'd love to get into that.
I would agree. I think about 5% of cancers are caused genetically, but there's probably maybe everybody with cancer has genetic pathways that would be beneficial to look at to help. So let me give you an example. So you could say that, a BRCA gene defect, that's the gene that is the tumor suppressor gene for breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So let's take a step back again. So a tumor suppressor gene are genes that we all have that kick on when a cell goes into rapid replication. So if a cell goes into, so that's what cancer is a cell going into rapid replication. That's an abnormal process, but it happens on a regular basis to all of us. Cells, the replication process in the nucleus of the cell gets interrupted. And instead of that cell replicating every 12 weeks and the mother cell dying, that's called regeneration. That happens constantly. Also, that's what healing is. The cell goes into replicating every day or multiple times a day. That's what cancer is. If that happens, which it does, it should kick on our tumor suppressor genes, which then kick on a pathway to stimulate apoptosis or cell death. So it's a protective measure to keep us from getting cancer. So one could say that we all have cancer, which is true if we're defining cancer with what it is. It's rapid replication of cells. So we all have rapid cells in rapid replication. Then these tumor suppressor genes kick on and cause cell death and kill the cell and protect us from ever having a diagnosis. People with defects on their tumor suppressor genes, and we'll use the BRCA genes as an example, have an increased rate of cancer because they're not kicking on that important pathway with hormonally driven cancers like breast cancer. And so they have an increased risk of breast cancer because they have multiple defects in those BRCA genes. So their risk goes up. So that's a small percentage of the population. And that's not really what we're really concentrating on when we look at genes with a cancer patient. We look at other risk factors, like if, like I described, let's say if I have a lot of defects on my PON1 pathway, that's a pathway that helps me detox large chemicals in my liver. So if I have a lot of defects on that PON1 pathway, and I'm exposed to toxins in my food, food colorings, chemical herbicides and pesticides, I don't detox those as well as I could if I didn't have those defects. So it doesn't mean I won't detox them, but I'm going to be a slower detoxer of those things. So let's say you and I were living next to each other. We're both exposed to the same toxic load, but I have a lot of defects on my PON pathway and you don't. You could clear them out easier than the risk of ill health because of storing toxins is going to be less for you because you'll be storing less. The risk of ill health, including cancer, for me is higher because I'm not getting rid of those poisons. And if I don't get rid of poisons, they can't keep circulating in my blood. They'll kill me. My body stores them in the cells or in the extracellular spaces. And then if they're stored in the cells, they could, at some point down the road, interrupt that replication cycle, and it could cause rapid replication. And that's what you talk about, a cause of cancer is a pesticide or an herbicide or some chemical or a combination of the slurry of thousands of different chemicals that I've been exposed to over the years. Then that is the cause of cancer for me. So looking at those detox pathways genetically could be extremely beneficial prior to somebody getting cancer. It'd actually be a better idea, right? So, boy, I have a lot of PON pathway defects. Then you go, okay, what from the literature that's out there helps support that PON pathway? And then what from looking at metabolic charts, what are the other cofactors that help push that PON pathway? Would it be wise to supplement my diet or supplement with specific nutrition to help support that pathway, to help my slow detox of my PON pathway to be maybe a medium detox of my PON pathway? I'm able to get rid of those things. And then lifestyle changes, like, wow, because I have these PON pathway defects, I'm going to even be more careful not to spray pesticides in my house or spray herbicides on my lawn. Because now I can see the correlation. My risk is higher for all sorts of problems because of that.
We'll be back with more questions for Dr. Connors after this short break to thank our sponsors. And the people that you work with at the Connors Clinic, like you said, it's so much easier to look at these things preventatively. Do you see patients there that don't have cancer who are just interested in getting these sort of mappings and customized plans and advice to just stay well?
We do. We do a genetic workup on anybody that wants to do a genetic workup. And certainly when our cancer patients are educated this way and we go over their whole genetic profile, I don't know that there's hardly any of them that don't go, can I do this on my husband? Can I do this on my kids and my grandkids? Yes, yes, yes. So yes, we do that whole genetic, we call it a genetic review on anybody that doesn't have cancer too. It's to me, that's a preventative program.
Right.
You're not guaranteed to prevent cancer, but you're certainly going to help reduce your risk if you can look at your pathways and see where you need support. And it, quite honestly, it's not even just for cancer. There's cardiovascular genes. There's genes for everything. So the more comprehensive, you know, or I say the 30,000 foot view of your genes, you're going to have a more comprehensive approach to help prevent ill health in many different ways too.
Absolutely. I'm so interested in the clinic that you have as well. The people that you're working with, are they all local there? I imagine some people would fly in and travel to see you, or do you ever work with patients like remotely?
Because of the unique work we do, and we are probably the foremost clinic with Rife knowledge, because I've been using the Rife for over 20 years and programming for over 20. We have a map of the world in our office, and we have little sticky things in people. Almost most of the countries around the world that people have come to us. So most of our patients are not local. Probably about 70% of people fly in from somewhere in the United States or somewhere. We have patients from Europe and Australia and everywhere. We also do remote testing and remote work of people that can't come here. We've shipped Rifes into China, into Bulgaria, and, you know, all around the world, and work with people remotely. You can do genetic work and genetic testing pretty much anywhere in the world with the beauty of the internet and using Skype and Zoom and things like that. We can go over people's plans and health anywhere. It's a blessing when we can help people who don't have disease yet, and we can. The rate of cancer in the United States is 1 out of 2.5 right now. So if we can push that out, that's really our life goal here.
Yeah, it is a startling statistic for sure. Now, what about your success rates that you're having at the clinic? I mean, how many patients are you seeing? Are they coming in pre-chemo, post-surgery, post-chemo? Like, give me a kind of snapshot of the people that you're seeing and what kind of results that you're having in your clinic compared to the kind of allopathic Western medicine approach to cancer treatments.
That's probably the most common question that we get when people call our office. What's your success rate? Being an alternative clinic that sees people with cancer, we have to be very careful with our language. So we do not say that we treat cancer. From a medical legal standpoint, I believe you have to be an oncologist to treat cancer. So we treat patients who have all sorts of diseases. Now we specialize in people that have a disease called cancer. Our success rate, so let's take a step back. How medical profession measures the success rate with cancer is after their diagnosis, how many of these people with this exact type of cancer post-diagnosis are still alive after 5 years. They could die one day after 5 years and they would still be listed as cured. See, they could live a horrific life for 5 years and they die one day after 5 years and they're still listed as we cured that person.
Oh, wow. Even if the cause of death was that disease?
Yes. So it's a little skewed, and you get a lot of rubber numbers out there with the success rate of cancer. The only honest way to measure success rate of cancer is quality of life. And for one aspect, I do not believe anybody's ever cured of cancer. Now, people will argue with me with that. No, God cured me. I don't have any cancer in my body. But, and that may be true. I do believe we're a spiritual clinic. We believe that God is your only healer. But we also believe that God can do anything he wants to do. But we also believe that you always have cancer cells, even if you don't have.
Right. You just talked about this earlier, right?
Exactly. Even if I don't have a diagnosis of cancer, I have cancer cells. So you have to always be treated as if. And assuming that I do have that and constantly, you never quit. So when we use the Rife, all of our patients go home with the Rife, for instance. And people will ask, when can I stop using that? And the answer is never. You know, you're going to use that the rest of your life. And same thing with when can I stop not eating junk food.
Right.
And the answer is never.
Never.
Doesn't mean you could, you know, you have to use the Rife every single day. And it doesn't mean you have to eat a perfect diet your rest of your life. You can cheat and you can still enjoy life at times, but your sway of your lifestyle has to be tweaked. And you want to keep it that way. So that's the number one perspective. And then as far as success rates, we measure our success rates with most of our patients come to us. I'd say probably about 70% right now come to us. They've already done chemo, surgery, or radiation, or some combination thereof. And then they seek places like us out. It just is what it is, because most people, they hear, you know, they get a diagnosis of cancer, they're in shock. And they typically don't think, you know, when the oncologists say you have breast cancer, their first thought isn't, huh, I got to go home and research this and how I can take care of it.
They just want someone to tell them what to do.
That's right. And it is our human inclination to not want to take responsibility. I want the doctor just to fix me. So it's real easy to like give your power over to somebody else who's going to take care of it.
Right. It's comforting. It's very comforting.
It is. And it takes a lot of pressure off of us, but it's also very dangerous. So we try to re-empower people in our practice that you need to be your advocate. We're here to educate you. We're here to help you. We're here to come alongside you, but we're not here to take the responsibility away from you. That would be disempowering, and that wouldn't be helpful for you. So again, most of our patients come to us that have already gone down the medical route. And the reason why they're coming to us is that it wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be. So a good percentage of those people are already given a time frame. Maybe we've had people with given 2 weeks. We live near Mayo here, so a lot of people come from Mayo. They've been given 2 weeks or 6 months to live, and they're in dire straits. So part of, I believe, our responsibility is to reinstill hope, that they don't have to listen to that, that no one knows their time, when their time is to go. They have to be, I'm big into being a realist, but it's very important to not let even the statistics that are out there to govern your life and to create fear. You have to believe that God has a purpose for you, and that your time is in His hands, and that there's ways to deal with this other than the medical profession that's out there. So that's a big part of our patients. I wish we had more, like the 20 to 30% where they come to us, say, hey, I found out I have cancer. I want to do a natural approach as well, or start with a natural approach and only do the chemo radiation surgery if I have to. My training is in integrative care, so I'm not against standards of care. I'm just against maybe gross uses of it. There can be benefits to chemo and radiation and surgery in certain types of cancer, but it might not be, we might not want to use the big guns first. So if we can do more things from a natural perspective and change the person's lifestyle, I think we get better results. So our success rate is really based upon when you have a person that's, you know, we, 20 some years of doing this, have seen people that have been given just weeks to months to live and they live years later. I deem that as a success. So, and even if they still only live 6 months, that their quality of life was so much better than being sick and ill and throwing up and just, they can't enjoy their family and their grandkids. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of benefits to that either.
Well, it sounds like the work you are doing is just absolutely incredible. I love your empowerment model that you are using with your patients in the clinic. It's so wonderful. And we talk about that a lot on this show about how you really need to take the power of your health and that responsibility, as you said, in your own hands. Because if you don't do it, then no one else will. You know, you can't hand it over. over to anyone else. So this has been fantastic. I feel like I've learned so much from you, Dr. Connors. So we really appreciate you being here. Before you go, I want to kind of change the topic and get off the topic of cancer and disease and illness and just ask, do you have a personal favorite essential oil or come across any essential oils that you've just found really fascinating in your studies?
Well, I typically use lemongrass in my diffuser. And then I personally take copaiba and frankincense and drop of cinnamon. That's what I personally take.
Do you take that in a capsule?
No, I don't.
How do you take it?
So I typically put a drop of cinnamon on my finger and take it. Cinnamon is high in aldehydes.
Do you just like lick it off your finger?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Oh, wow. That's so strong.
It's a breath freshener too.
Yeah, right.
And the copaiba is really easy to take, and so is frankincense. So I take that orally as well. But I do that with just full disclosure. I also have stage 4 cancer.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm taking that. So if I didn't have cancer, would I take that orally? Probably not.
Were you diagnosed with cancer before your journey into the Connors Clinic? Is that sort of what prompted it? Or
No.
So wow.
I was just diagnosed a little over 2 years ago.
Wow.
With a fairly rare cancer that not a real good outcome. So Mayo just did a study on my type of cancer a few years ago with 10 or 12 people in the study, and the longest person lived 16 months after diagnosis. And I'm out over 2 years without doing any chemo or anything. So, and I'm still working full time.
Well, what an interesting story. I wish we could have you back and hear all that.
Yeah, we could do that sometime. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we always like to ask our guests these closing questions. And the first, you've already gone into somewhat, but just give us a little glimpse into what some of your other daily health habits look like.
Well, I like to eat donuts. And
don't we all?
So my daily health habits should be much better than they currently are. I am addicted to studying and learning and listening to audiobooks and podcasts like yours. So probably my biggest daily health habit has to do with just being in prayer and just time, just quiet time. That, to me, is the most important thing, because all the stresses that you have in life, and being a clinician, I am an empath, so I take on all my patients' burdens really easy, and it affects me. It could affect me very negatively, so I have to really make time to just purposefully give them back to God in prayer. Otherwise, it could just eat at me. So that's probably my most important. If I don't do that on a very regular basis, I notice my health slipping. So diet is important. I try to eat almost exclusively gluten-free, dairy-free because of my cancer. I don't eat much meat at all. For when I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was just completely dairy and any animal protein free, except for some fish. Now I've maybe once or twice a month, I'll eat a little chicken. But so diet is, my cancer happens to be driven slightly off of animal protein, so I have to be careful of that. And then the biggest thing is that is trying to give back to God the burdens of my patients, and then actively be praying for my patients is one of my biggest health benefits. So
finally, Dr. Connors, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Oh boy. I mean, you could talk about diet and you could talk about all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, as with my journey in getting diagnosed with a cancer that has a 7% 5-year survival rate made me think of what's really important. And I would say the thing that I'm working on ditching completely is judging myself and judging others and putting expectations on others and putting expectations on myself that God hasn't placed. So that's just in my journey that God's really working on me and ditching, because I think that is at least for me, maybe it's just me. There I am judging myself again. But
well, this reminds me of something I always say. You know, in fact, I include it in my bio on my website sometimes, that I believe that health is simple, wealth is doable, but happiness takes priority over both.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get, I mean, health, it's simple. Eat your veggies, eat your fruits, eat, you know, take your supplements, your fitness, exercise. I mean, it's not that complicated, but it's hard. And then, you know, wealth is doable, but it's not the most important thing in the world. And with everything, like, don't judge yourself. Don't judge others. Don't stress yourself out, you know, about eating the donut and, because your happiness is, it should take priority over everything, I believe.
That's right.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Connors, for coming on with us today. I know people can connect with you through your website, connorsclinic.com, and we'll put that in the show notes. And you can download your free book, connorsclinic.com/books. That sounds fascinating. We'll put that in the show notes as well. Is there any other place you want to direct people to connect with you?
Well, if you go to that books, or you just go to our regular website, connorsclinic.com, and you could go to our resources and blog and books page. I have hundreds of videos on genetics, if that rang with you a little bit, and other subjects. We give all of our information away for free. So I just believe again in empowering people, whether they could ever come to us or not, if they can use the information that I've been given to help themselves, you know, we encourage that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you again next week, where we're going to continue this topic of cancer, and we will be talking with Katie Ledbetter and Alyssa Garcia, both cancer survivors who have gone on to create online courses, consultation services, and subscription boxes for people undergoing cancer treatments and searching for holistic and natural tools to help them on that process. Can't wait to share that with you next week. Make sure you are subscribed so that you can get new episodes downloaded to your phone while you sleep. And while you're at it, do us a favor and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. Keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.